this is Mallory Nye, and welcome to episode 10 of my podcast series, Mallory Nye, Writer and Academic. In this podcast, I'm going to be looking at some of the issues that I've been thinking about in the 20-year anniversary of the Disney film Pocahontas. The tragedy behind the fictional love story of a Native American encounter. June 2015 saw the 20th anniversary of the release of the Disney classic Pocahontas. The world has changed considerably in those two decades, but the underlying issues and problems with the film remain very contemporary. This movie evokes particular memories for me. I never saw it in the cinema, but I watched it countless times on VHS with my then toddler son in a remote cottage in the middle of a Scottish moor. Pocahontas was not the most successful of the major Disney releases of that era. It has been largely eclipsed by the giants of The Lion King, Aladdin, and Toy Story, and others. But it is one of the few Disney animated classics that attempted to portray a real-life story. Disney's telling of the Pocahontas story was an interesting blend of actual and imagined history, tending much more towards the latter in many respects. We don't expect a Disney cartoon to tell us how it is, but what they do say and how they say it is of great significance. What Disney tells us is not about another magical world. What it shows us is how we understand our own world. Sometimes that is the values we have, and sometimes it is the world they think, they know, we want to live in. Even after all this time, I don't know quite whether I feel comfortable with the film. The story time for the female lead, the so-called Indian princess of Pocahontas, was quite distinct in its time, predating Elsa and others in its portrayal of a young woman choosing to defy the expectations of the men around her. She was a step up from Belle in Beauty and the Beast, and Ariel in The Little Mermaid. She had an edge, not only wanting to see what was just around the river bend, but also being reckless. She jumps from a high cliff into a deep pool with ease and poise, and as the legend tells us, she risks her life to save the English captain, John Smith. However, she does rather instantly fall in love with the first tall, blonde European with Mel Gibson's voice that she meets. The problem with the film was not so much how historically accurate it was, but rather how it dealt with that most fundamental of encounters in American history, the apparent first encounters between the English settlers and the native First Nations people. The tale of Captain John Smith, Pocahontas, and the Jamestown settlement in 1607 was not, in fact, the first English or British encounter with America. A colony had previously been attempted 20 years before, on Roanoke Island, around 150 miles to the south, in what is now coastal North Carolina. That colony, under the auspices of Sir Walter Raleigh, was initially settled in 1585, with the full settlement of over 100 people being established on Roanoke Island in 1587, under the governorship of John White. In a tale that was to be tragically repeated in Jamestown, the English settlers on Roanoke were unable to support themselves through their own efforts, and they needed the support when they could get it from the native people. By bad management, or perhaps due to deliberate sabotage, the colony of Roanoke was destroyed. Indeed, it remains a mystery what exactly happened to the 120 people of the colony, since we only have the report of the Governor White, who left them in 1587 to acquire more supplies, but didn't return again until 1590, by which time they had disappeared. To say the least, this first attempt to establish an English colony in the New World at Roanoke was a disaster. And of course, the Spanish had been settling in the New World for over a century, including on the Florida mainland since 1513. Unlike the English, the Spanish colonists were fortunate enough to uncover the mineral wealth of Central and Southern America, which made their colonization efforts highly profitable. And, inadvertently, they aided economic growth in England due to the privateering of English naval captains such as Drake and Raleigh, seizing Spanish treasure ships and diverting them back to England. The French were also keen to get their fingers in the pie of the New World colonization. At first, this was likewise through the theft of Spanish riches by targeting the Spanish treasure ships. But, slightly earlier than the English, the French also attempted to colonize North America, with a group of French Huguenots establishing a settlement in Florida in the 1560s. Like the English in Roanoke in the 1580s, the French Florida settlement also proved unsuccessful, and it too came down largely to their failure to become self-sufficient, with many of the colonists dying of starvation. However, in this case, the Spanish also showed their determination to keep the Americas to themselves for as long as they could, and it was a massacre of the remaining French settlers in Florida in 1565 that led to that colony's eventual failure. Such a fate would have occurred to the Roanoke settlers if the Spanish had been able to find the colony. What was distinct about the Jamestown settlement of 1607 was, however, that in the end, it turned out to be the first successful colony for the English in America. It was successful largely due to the support given to the settlers by the native people, as had happened previously on Roanoke Island despite considerable tensions. In both colonies, the English often adopted a military strategy against the native people, using tactics that they had developed to establish and protect their plantations and islands. In many respects, the native people of America were like the Irish and the Welsh, locals who would need to be eventually defeated and incorporated into an English feudal political structure, that is, made subjects to the English crown. However, the distance from England to America meant that English settlers were very largely at the mercy of the native people, and the settlers' failure to produce sufficient produce to sustain themselves, despite apparent careful planning, meant that the Jamestown settlement would have quickly been destroyed by starvation without the food supplies that they traded from the Powhatan Nation. All this predated the native help associated with the Day of Thanksgiving, which is usually tied to the New England Plymouth settlement in 1621. Indeed, when relations between the settlers and the Powhatan Nation became strained, large-scale starvation did ensue and came very close to wiping out the new colony in 1608. The long-term success of Jamestown was in fact due to the successful cultivation of tobacco brought from the West Indies, which eventually became a lucrative cash crop for supplying this new habit in England and the continent. Despite King James's well-known dislike of tobacco, it had become firmly established in English popular culture, and the Crown saw the strong advantage of controlling imports of the commodity to England and the taxes that could be raised on such a luxury item. Instead of seeing that money going to the Spanish merchants, who previously dominated the market with tobacco they brought in and sold from their West Indian colonies, the cash crop of tobacco made the settlement of an English colony sustainable. That in turn required a supply of cheap labour to develop the industry and help drive costs down and increase profits. To achieve this, over the decades the English followed the Spanish example of making use of forced captive labour from across the Atlantic in Africa. Thus, the British transatlantic slave trade followed soon after. So to return to the Jamestown colony and the Disney movie, we must remember that Pocahontas, later known as Rebecca and also as Matoaka or Matoa among her Powhatan people, she was not the first Native American to make contact with the English. Given the earlier colonies of Roanoke and the Spanish colonies, Matoaka was most probably not the first Native American to either become a Christian or to enter a relationship with an English settler. Pocahontas, or Matoaka, did not marry John Smith, despite popular imagery of her relationship with him. And although Matoaka was the daughter of Powhatan, the paramount chief, the Mamanatawik, of the area, this didn't make her royal in any Disney princess kind of way, and she was probably only around 10 years old when the English arrived. Indeed, the main part of the story of Matoaka is also highly suspect. That is, her intervention in a conflict in which Smith was to be killed by the Native Americans, by her own father, Powhatan. This story in itself has been strongly questioned by historians for centuries. In Smith's own account of his travels in Virginia, written a year or so after his return, he makes no mention of this incident. It was only when Pocahontas, then called Rebecca, travelled to England in 1616 that Smith started telling the story about her saving him from death. But she did later marry another English settler, John Rolfe, the man who developed tobacco in Jamestown. Mattawaka travelled to England with Rolfe, as we've seen in 1616, where she met King James and Queen Anne, before her sudden death as she prepared to return home. Mattawaka is one of the few named native women in early American history, and in this respect, a film representing her did bring to life many of the awkward contradictions of the foundations of British America. In fact, the film dramatized some of these issues, giving some voice, despite it being Disney, to criticisms of the greed that motivated the settlement, the destruction of the environment by the settlers, their prejudices towards the native people, together with the conflicts that arose between them. However, being Disney, the film didn't attempt any significant historical revisioning, and instead rendered the negatives of colonization as personal rather than political. In short, the film Pocahontas managed to airbrush over the British settlers' genocide against and land seizure from the Native American people, in the interests of a personal narrative of self-discovery and mutual love. Of course, it wasn't the first such dramatic fiction of the European encounter with the New World to do this, and it wasn't the last. 10 years after the release of Pocahontas, the tale was told again by Terrence Malick in the epic film The New World in 2005, starring Colin Farrell as John Smith, Corianka Kilcher as Mattawaka, and Christian Bale as John Rolfe. Although spectacularly visual, and indeed filmed in the original areas around Jamestown, this later film was narratively challenging, and for me at least, proved too much of a chew beyond its initial stunning opening scenes. Now, 20 years after Disney's Pocahontas, the challenge should be to find new ways of retelling this old story. These should not simply pander to the insatiable interest in that initial period, when the seemingly docile land of Virginia offered the English and other Europeans wonderful prospects for expansion and economic development. It also has to come to terms with the countries and the people that were trampled upon and plundered in this colonization of the New World. This conflict began before Jamestown was ever settled, since Europeans had been enslaving and massacring native people from the very early days of Spanish exploration of this New World. The Roanoke colony of the 1580s was most likely destroyed due to the treatment of the native Powhatan people in an imperious way, mirroring the English colonization of the Irish that had been going on for a number of years already. We should remember that Raleigh and a number of the men who led his colonization all had experience of creating colonies in Ireland before moving on to America. And of course, the conflict between Europeans and the First Nations people of America became progressively worse. In the end, the native people stood in the way of the Europeans, and in particular, the British North Americans' demand for land and power in this new continent. It was an unequal struggle that played out very badly for one side. So putting the film within this context, we need to acknowledge the need for a reading of the film and the wider legacy of the story, in a way that tries to go far beyond the trivia of idealistic Pocahontas portrayals and blatantly racist survivals in other places, such as names of teams such as Washington Redskins. Professor Cornell Pewawadi, a Comanche Kiowa writer based at the University of Portland, has argued, "We live in a society that suffers from historical amnesia, and we find it very difficult to preserve the memory of those who have resisted and struggled over time for the ideas of freedom, democracy, and equality. America has always been both deeply xenophobic and a land of relative opportunity. White interest in the American Indian surges and ebbs with the tides of the United States history, forever linking Indians with the untamed forests, fields, and streams. We need to carefully review our historical past in order to understand the present, move on to the future, and not get caught up and trapped in old negative stereotypes of the American frontier past, freeze-dried and recycled as modern cultural myths, all of which were mostly established by white inventors of Indian images. And so in short, the tale of Pocahontas, that is, of the woman Matawaka and the convert Rebecca, is not a love story. It is a tragedy of epic proportions. Not only of a young woman who died at the age of 21 with an infant son. The tragedy is what happened in the ensuing centuries. For the First Nations of America, there was no Disney-style happy ending.
So, thanks for listening. If you want to find out more, then do please visit the website mallorynye.com/podcasts. And I'll see you on the next episode. Bye for now.